good evening. It's Christmas Day, how it went at the Vatican and in Palestine. And we hear from a radical rabbi who says humanity is being challenged. With these and other stories, I'm Paul D'Arienzo with some of the news for Wednesday, December 25th, 2019.
Octavo calendas januari, luna undetricesima.
During his Christmas Day address, Pope Francis urged Catholics to embrace the light of Christ to help end conflict and injustice around the world. The 83-year-old Pope spoke from the Vatican balcony under a clear blue sky on Wednesday. Known to the faithful as Holy Father, he listed several places, including Syria, Lebanon, Iraq, Venezuela, and Ukraine, while calling for peace. He said, "There is darkness in human hearts, yet the light of Christ is greater still." He said that to thousands who gathered in St. Peter's Square. The pontiff, who is also the Bishop of Rome, highlighted the plight of refugees and migrants. He said it is injustice that turns them away from places where they might have hoped for a dignified life, but instead find themselves before walls of indifference. The Pope also joined in a statement with the Archbishop of Canterbury and former moderator of the Church of Scotland, calling for peace in southern Sudan. Apparently referring to the sexual abuse scandals that have rocked the church, Pope Francis said, "Whatever problems there are in the world will no longer serve as an excuse." Earlier this month, the Pope allowed church documents to be shared with civil authorities investigating abuse allegations. Meanwhile, thousands of Christian pilgrims and tourists from around the world are marking Christmas in the West Bank town of Bethlehem, where the Gospels say Jesus was born. The ceremony was held in Bethlehem's Church of the Nativity, built on the spot where Christians believe Jesus lay in a manger and dating from the 4th century A.D. As the story, revered by millions, is told, the poor pregnant woman and her husband, refugees, were turned away from a crowded inn and made to lay with the animals, where the man revered as the Son of God would be born. Today's ceremony began with a procession by the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Archbishop Pier Battista Pisabella, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the pilgrimage mirroring that made by Jesus' mother Mary, according to the Bible. Pisabella spoke in his homily about violence and division in the modern-day Holy Land.
"We must let the child of Bethlehem overcome our inner resistance, our fears, and conquer our hearts. The shepherds in the Gospel were free and immediately embraced the message of the angels. The poor of the Gospel have this freedom, which perhaps we lack. In this sense, here in the Holy Land, we have a long way to go before this style becomes truly ours. Sometimes, if you allow me, I have the impression that we are guided more by our fears than by the light of God's glory. I sense that the fear of making mistakes and of the judgment of this world determine our choices rather than the desire to meet every man, to love him, and to clothe him with light. I have the impression at times that we find it difficult to make the style of Bethlehem ours. This happens when we become tired of seeing and recognizing what is happening around us, recognizing it as unjust. That is when we resign ourselves to accept as normal, for instance, the separation and divisions of our society caused by politics, or the tiredness in everyday life to find and to go to work, to move freely, but also when we refuse to accept in our reality the existence of the other, different from us, be it Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. It happens when we tire of talking about peace and building it, when we consider it an unattainable utopia. It happens, in short, when we remain close in our palaces, isolated from the life of the people, inside our homes, in our certainties, worried only about ourselves, and we refuse to listen, to welcome, and make ours the voice of the humble, those different from us, those waiting for a word of hope. And I also think about the division in so many of our families, the violence and the bullying that seems to be the only language spoken by all. It would be unfair, however, to limit ourselves to stigmatizing our struggle in assuming the style of Bethlehem, and not to recognize instead those who live it in silence but with determination. I think of those who spend their lives serving the disabled that nobody wants, the schools where our young Christians and Muslims grow up together, the many solidarity initiatives that continually arise within our communities throughout the territory of our diocese. But I think that we can also talk about the style of Bethlehem in this land of ours that is torn and divided by politics, religions, and so much hatred, even when we meet people, associations, institutions, persons, anyway, that want with determination and in spite of everything to simply meet, to get to know each other, to build something together, to overcome the misunderstandings of those who do not share their desire for encounter and peace. They are the ones who, like the shepherds of Bethlehem, set out, go out by challenging fear, suspicion, and unbelief in order to meet and to love Emmanuel wherever and whoever he may be. Today they remind us that the style of Bethlehem is still possible. Then celebrating Christmas also means celebrating those who still have a desire to love mankind and put themselves online for it. Here in Holy Land, and not only today, but every day of the year, there are still many people who celebrate the Christmas of Jesus in this way. Not only Christians. And to them go our most sincere thanks and encouragement to continue being the hope for all of us. In conclusion, a child knows how to arouse tenderness and smile in anyone, even in the hardest of the hearts. That smile and that tenderness are part of the glory with which the angels enveloped the shepherds, as I said. So may the child of Bethlehem arouse much tenderness in all of us and make us smile once again. Even if it does not solve all our problems, that child will certainly make us happier. Merry Christmas to all of you.
And that's the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Archbishop Pier Battista Pisabella. From Jerusalem, he led a procession from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the pilgrimage mirroring that made by Jesus' mother, Mary, according to the Bible. And Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas attended the ceremony with representatives of the many Christian denominations that have a presence in Israel and the Palestinian territories. Despite being separated from Jerusalem by a heavily fortified so-called security wall, Bethlehem attracts hundreds of thousands of tourists every year, especially during Christmas. Christians who live on the West Bank are said to have a more difficult time attending the Mass in Bethlehem than Christian pilgrims who travel thousands of miles from Europe and beyond. The ancient town is being surrounded by expanding and illegal Israeli settlements, bordered by walls, fences, and barbed wire. And you're listening to the news on WBAI New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo. In the United States, the Trump campaign launched a website full of talking points on Christmas Eve. They're intended to help supporters of the president win arguments that liberal snowflake relative. I have to get down the conservative nomenclature there, that liberal snowflake relative, I guess, sitting next to you at the table, maybe at this exact moment. Snowflake is a derogatory term used by conservatives to bully liberals as weak. The website reads, "Family holidays full of love, full of laughter, and full of the inevitable conversations with the family liberal who just does not want to believe how great America is doing with President, how great America is doing with President Trump in office. The website gives pointers on the economy and Ukraine scandal and hammers on immigration and healthcare. It says, don't let crazy family members and friends get away with throwing out liberal talking points and faux feelings. The facts are the facts. Meanwhile, Trump enters the new year as only the third president in American history to be impeached. In an interview with New York Magazine, Trump's occasional lawyer and confidant, former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, made a number of statements, apparently well under the influence of alcohol, about Jewish financier George Soros that many are calling anti-Semitic. Soros is a longtime funder of pro-democracy initiatives in Eastern Europe that have angered the region's new crop of strongmen, nationalistic leaders such as Hungary's Viktor Orban, many governing in the style of Donald Trump. Soros has also become an anti-Semitic trope in the United States as a so-called shadowy figure pulling strings from behind the curtain, a well-worn tenet of anti-Semitism. Rabbi Michael Lerner is the editor of Tikkun magazine, author of the book Revolutionary Love. He's been a civil rights activist since 1964. That's 55 years. He says the flood of racist and anti-Semitism since Trump became president is caused by fear being inflamed by Trump and leaders like him.
What's going on is a reauthorization of the part of every consciousness that is fearful and believes that everybody is out for themselves. And we have to understand that there's been a struggle that's been going on for the past 10,000 years between as soon as patriarchy and class societies emerged, between the two worldviews. One worldview that says that we are in a world which everybody's out for themselves, and that consequently the only way you can have security is to learn domination and control of others, otherwise they will have domination and control of you, versus the other worldview that said, no, actually, the way to get security and safety is through love, kindness, and generosity towards others. Now, that's been going on for 10,000 years, this alternation. And we now have in the White House somebody who is a major champion of the worldview of domination, control, and fear. And that is the way that gets expressed right now, and it has been popularized by Trump, but it has been emerging over the course of the past several decades, is more and more ultranationalism, because ultranationalism is only a larger scale of me first, selfishness, look out for number one consciousness, and a decline of people's ability to hold on to the possibility of a very different kind of world based on love, kindness, and generosity. So that's what's going on. And what we're seeing now, when we ask how come that happens, one of the reasons that's happening is because in the liberal and progressive world, we have not been willing to articulate the highest values that we hold. Instead, we've tried to show that we are, that we've got very concrete, narrow programs, and that, will help some, but not too broad, never articulated in terms of the ultimate values we hold. So, unless that changes in the liberal and progressive world, and how to do that is what I talk about in my new book, Revolutionary Love, a political manifesto to heal and transform the world. That, unless we do that, unless we begin to articulate a vision of a world based on caring for each other, caring for the planet, and a new bottom line that says that every institution should be judged efficient, rational, and productive, not to the extent that they maximize money and power, but to the extent that they maximize love and caring, kindness and generosity, ethical and environmental sensitivity, enhance our capacity to respond to other human beings as embodiments of the sacred, rather than look at them in terms of what they can do for us, and respond to the universe with awe and wonder and radical amazement, rather than looking at the universe and the earth itself solely from the standpoint of, can we turn this into a commodity and sell it? So this is the struggle that's going on. And we are in the midst of the triumph of the ethos of selfishness and the failure of the ethos of love, kindness, and generosity, not because they would be dismissed by people if anybody articulated them strongly enough, but because we don't have a liberal and progressive force that is willing to articulate those values and really commit to them and make them the center of their programs, not on the sideline. The irony is that people on the left actually move to the left precisely because they want that kind of world. But then they think, oh, I've got to be realistic. And to be realistic in this context means to narrow their vision to what they think will be acceptable in the public sphere. But since the public sphere is dominated by the corporations and the ultra rich and the media that they own, there's very little opportunity for people to see that those values would provide an alternative to the right wing values. So, you know, it's easy for the right wing to win when their deep values hook into the fearful part that people have learned to be what realism really is about, rather than have a left that is saying, no, actually people want a different kind of world. Most people yearn for love. They yearn for kindness. They yearn for respect. They yearn for caring, and they yearn for take care of the earth. And that's what we are about. Until that happens, we're going to see more and more success on the part of reactionary forces that we're seeing right now all over the planet, and that we've seen intensify in this past year.
Right. Do religious people have a role in this, in the sense of we've seen the, as you said, you pointed out, the left, the socialist left, failing often over and over again, often settling for too little, being pushed over, not being able to win the people over in a very religious world. Is there a way to counter the fact that religion, at least in the United States, is being twisted into like a supporting of the right-wing agenda, really? You know, the evangelicals, they say they're fighting for God against the godless atheists and others. Why can't progressives get that message on their side, considering that religion is supposed to be about, you know, historically about people being together and love and sharing, and you have a president who like mocks, you know, cripples and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yes, the dispute that I've talked about between the worldview of fear and the worldview of hope, the worldview of love and the worldview of domination, this kind of dispute has gone on inside religion as well as outside. So it's not fair to the religious world to say that the evangelicals represent all of the religious world. They don't. In fact, there's close to 60% of the population identify with religion, and that the evangelicals are at most 15 to 20% of that population. So, but they are strong out there articulating their hurtful values, and the other side is chicken. They're not willing to stand up and say, you know what, we are hard fighters for a world of love, kindness, and generosity. And when people say, don't be realistic, we say to them, no, being realistic today means enforcing the love part of our tradition and taking it seriously. What happens is that the evangelicals take seriously the domination part of their tradition, and most other religious groups, and that includes Jews, Christians, Muslims, etc., they quietly talk amongst themselves about love, caring, and kindness, but they don't bring that into the public sphere. They don't take that into politics. They don't insist that to believe in God from the liberal and progressive standpoint means to care for everyone else, to care for the planet, to insist that we not be realistic, that the God of the universe is a force that makes possible the transformation from that which is to that which ought to be, not simply accommodate to the existing reality with its horrific capitalist marketplace that constantly reinforces people's sense that the real world is about selfishness and money and domination and power over.
All right. Any last words, any message to Christians on their day today?
Thank God that that you have in the Christian tradition the vision of a person of peace, a person of love, who embodied some of the teachings of the Jewish prophets, and who has a message to the world that the world can be based on love, kindness, and generosity. Thank God for that. I'm so glad you're celebrating his birth. Many Jews also respect and care about Jesus. He's one of our great prophets. So celebrate, but focus on what it's really about, not on buying people's love by getting the best possible gift, or feeling bad about yourself because you can't afford to buy the best possible gift. All capitalist marketplace consciousness, get rid of that and go back to the highest visions of your tradition, which are very similar to the highest visions of our tradition.
So I assume you don't think President Trump is the chosen one. As he once famously said of himself.
Yes, I understand.
And then Rudy Giuliani said he was more Jewish than George Soros as well the other day in the Atlantic.
Yeah, well, Trump is the narcissist in chief of our country and the embodiment of all the distortions that have happened through history. And he's popular precisely because he speaks to the part of most people that's fearful. But there's another part that is love-filled, and that part we have to support rather than accept the Trumpism that is leading our country to destruction.
And Rabbi Michael Lerner is the editor of Tikkun magazine, author of the book Revolutionary Love. He's been a civil rights activist since 1964. And in other news, the U.S. has recalled its ambassador to Zambia after he called for the imprisonment of a gay, he called the imprisonment of a gay couple horrifying and accused authorities of corruption. Daniel Foote, a career diplomat appointed by the Trump administration in 2017, had issued a strongly worded statement criticizing the 15-year sentences handed down to two men for being in a relationship. Homosexuality is illegal in Zambia. He also said he was shocked by the venom and hate he said he had been subjected to since raising the issue. Foote threatened to cut U.S. aid to Zambia after its president, Edgar Lungu, defended his anti-gay stance in an interview with Sky News. Lungu said, "We know that there could be people who are homosexual in Zambia, but we don't want to promote it. We frown on it. The practice, most of us think it's wrong, it's unbiblical and unchristian, and we don't want it. Zambia, a former British colony, is a member of the Commonwealth. It is one of 71 countries in the world, including more than 30 members of the Commonwealth, which criminalizes homosexuality." And you're listening to WBAI, listener-sponsored, community-based, and very independent radio in New York City. And we have a few minutes. If you want to call in with comments on the news, questions, ideas, or things to cover, call us at 212-209-2877. If this is Christmas Day and you're sitting at dinner, tell us, did President Trump's talking points disturb your Christmas dinner? Were there arguments around the table? Or did people get along and agree? Or did you agree to disagree? Or do you have a family policy of not discussing religion or politics at the dinner table as many do? Again, our number 212-209-2877. This is WBAI in New York City. Our signal reaches to vast areas in this metropolitan area and many, many locales, many, many towns and cities and villages and urban areas and tracts and housing projects. Millions and millions of people. 212-209-2877. Let your voice be heard here on WBAI and talk about what this Christmas means to you in light of all the things that are happening, the impeachment of the president, the power that the president holds on people's minds, his rejection of most Christian values while at the same time claiming to be Christian.
So, Paul, since I think we got a caller on the line, but I am curious if you can answer this question for me. Remember yesterday you was talking about this mysterious package that was going to be sent from North Korea. Did we find out what that
thing
was?
No, we're still waiting. I was keeping an eye on the news. If it pops, I have the thing up on my phone right now. As soon as I see it, if we're still on the air, I'm going to yell. But not, so far, nothing.
Okay. Okay. And I think we have a caller on the line right now.
Yes. Welcome, caller. You're on the air. What's up? Question or comment?
Well, I was listening to your discussion with the rabbi.
Yes.
And I think that the problem with most problems in the world is that we're avoiding the biggest problem, which is that we all allow our society to go forward where one person can make $5 an hour and one person can make $25,000 an hour, and we all think it's right.
There's nothing wrong with it. I know. And the vast amount of monies that are going into the lifestyles of just a few rich and famous while so many suffer and struggle is horrifying. And it's probably the great inequality of our time, the one that underlines all of it. You know, because a lot of the racism, a lot of the hate is really just geared towards creating fear and trepidation so that to keep the system going so people don't overthrow it, which they probably could if they were angry enough.
If they were angry enough, or if they were somehow directed, that there is a main problem. And the main problem is the earning inequality. People talk about the 400 families that make $1 billion or whatever it is. It changes every year because it gets worse.
Yeah.
But and how we have poor people and how we're in New York and we have homeless, you know, and we try to put a Band-Aid here and there. But the real problem is that we allow the earning to be different.
I think we should reduce it. I don't mind some people getting a bonus for doing extra work, but it should end at that. You know, nobody should get live in a – especially necessary occupation. Not everybody's going to get mad at me. But I think that, you know, if you're a doctor, if you're a person who provides a necessary service – then some of these folks are just getting too much money for doing what they do. And we're spending too much money on the lifestyles that are rich and famous and not enough on providing services to people who need them.
I think we have another caller on the line.
Yeah, we're going to go to that other caller. Thank you very much on this Christmas Day. You're on the air. Welcome to WBAI.
And thank you for WBAI. And greetings. And anyone that happens to care about WBAI, be a buddy, do something, because I love your station. Hi. My feelings, my for this particular holiday season, it's got to be a cleansing time, because I've been listening. Everyone's talking about money and religion. That's not it. What it is spiritual, energetic guidance inside. It's time for whatever, you know, got this world of earth and our country to where it's at today has to be erased and cleansed as far as what's going on with I have to. I'm not going to disrespect myself. I call the 45. You know, the way he have control on the weak mindedness, because you have to be some kind of subordinate to just follow the rules and regulations of someone that really don't have any base to even put up his pants on the right side. But anyway, we can't allow any negative forces to guide us in the next decade. So as far as the holiday. Every day I wake up is a holiday for me.
Okay. I hear you. Great. Peace. Yes. And is there anybody else on the line? We got it. It's coming to the end of the news, so we're going to leave. Have a great holiday. And that's some of the news for Wednesday, December 25th, 2019. The news was engineered by Reggie Johnson. For the WBAI News, I'm Paul DiRienzo. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and a great Kwanzaa to all.